Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton and hey. Josh Brown. Hey.
Yo, wow. I'm sorry. We've been meeting with our Knockoff Nation board about kind of switching up the intro and everything. And so hopefully by next week we'll have it figured out. But until then, you get what you get. And you know what? If you're not a patron, then I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your shit on Twitter talking about how, you know, what the heck was that intro? I don't want to hear it. Okay. Mm. Unless you are a patron, you cannot complain.
Breaking news. Fellas, Sean Newcomb has been optioned to AAA following Monday night's game. We are recording a little bit of this episode after Monday night's game. And so Sean Newcomb headed to AAA. Is anyone shocked?
No, but that's cool. Like, if you get a flat tire on the interstate, you might be able to meet Sean Newcomb. That is
that's true. It's better than being Derek Lowe's and working at
yes.
Lowe's all the time.
Yeah, Derek Lowe's.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, okay, wow, okay. Getting Derek Lowe sounds like a whole different thing, JT, if we're being honest. I mean, that's what the Dodger woman got that worked in the...
Well, hey, she was a dugout reporter, Derek, so guess what? She got a dug... Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
She got Derek Lowe. Fellas, how do we feel about Sean at this point? We can talk a little Braves for a little bit here. Is this the end for Sean?
So I'm going to sound like a total Braves blogger. I'm so embarrassed by what I'm about to say. I'm only going to say this once about a player, and so record it, tweet it at me because relish this moment, you guys, because this is some good material to make fun of me about. But other than his peripherals, which are outstanding, I don't know if he's very good. I don't know. When you look at his, honest to God, when you look at his stat, maybe Sean Newcomb's a good case for this. Now that I'm thinking about it, when you look at Sean Newcomb's stat cast, and by that I mean like his revolutions or whatever, his spin rate,
yeah,
his break on his slider. If you're not familiar, Knockoff Nation. MLB Savant, a.k.a. StatCast, it's like another world where people would get measured by different things other than slugging and batting average and ERA and wins and whip and FIP and all these things, right? It really does measure guys on spin rate, on the vertical inches breaking of their slider or their curveball, right? And it actually puts stock in these things. So Sean Newcomb is like a badass in this world. If you go to his Baseball Savant page, these things tell you that Sean Newcomb is elite. And I actually have bought into it. Honest to God, I've bought into it. If you look at his whiff rate, if you look at his spin rate and all these nerdy peripherals that this tool espouses, Sean Newcomb's good. And I think, I mean, to my credit and to that website's credit, that's why probably scouts and player development guys have probably stuck with him maybe longer than, some other guys might, perhaps. But at the end of the day, it all comes back down to the most basic ideas of baseball, right? Can you get guys out? Yeah. Can you? You know what I mean? I don't know. I like Sean. I think he's very talented. But when you can't throw strikes, on the regular, I don't know. Now, sometimes guys like we're really high on Luke Jackson. There's oftentimes when Luke Jackson, you know, can't really maybe find the strike zone, but then he always gets out of it somehow, right? He'll get a guy on first or second base, and sometimes it makes you wonder, is he pitching around guys? Maybe Luke's playing on a different level than we are, you know. And I don't know who Sean Newcomb is. I you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't often get out of it. I think he should have actually stayed in the game.
Yeah.
He was getting his butt handed to him, and he had every reason in the world to get pulled. But I think, like, second inning, you load the bases. It's just second inning. You're not. It's 5-1. Just leave him in.
Josh, Paul Bird had a great piece on this. I don't know if you continued watching the game, but Paul Bird talked about the grand slam that was given up.
Okay.
The Philly was really mean to Sean Newcomb tonight, because Paul Bird said that hit that was the grand slam, mm-hmm, should have been a .058 expected batting average, meaning it should have fallen just short of the warning track. But because the wind was blowing like crazy in Philly tonight, that ball ended up in the stands. So, Sean, look, this is not 100% defense for Sean Newcomb, but it is saying that's rough when you're in Philly and the ball's flying out like that. I mean, the Braves came back. It ended up 13-8. The Braves almost got back into this game, and against Philly's atrocious bullpen. But that tells you how much the ball was just flying in Philly.
Yeah.
But Nola's good. I mean, that's what comes
out. Gregorius actually put his head down when he hit that grand slam. Like, he thought it was an out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually was like,
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he did. But, I mean, Bryce Harper's great. I mean, there's not a more fun player to troll than Bryce Harper, but, I mean, come on. He's pretty good. He's pretty good. He buried that ball. But, yeah, it should have been 5-1. I think – and maybe with the bases loaded, listen, maybe he gives up another single or double or whatever, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, that's funny that Paul said that. I didn't know he said that. I did turn it off, not because I was mad, but because – we ended up watching Shark Tank for like an hour before I podcasted.
Great, yeah.
And but I think that, like, maybe Sean Newcomb's a good case for this, though. You know what I mean? Like, the idea that on all the peripherals you can be really good, right? But can you get it done? I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know.
And so. Look, I recognize this guy's a unicorn when I throw his name out, Josh. So, like, take that as what it is.
Uh-huh.
But at this point in innings pitched in their careers, Sean Newcomb has better results than Randy Johnson had. Because big lefties that throw the ball really hard are slow to develop. It took the first 5 years of Randy Johnson's career are pretty much trash. He struck a lot of guys out. He walked a ton of guys. His FIP was actually higher than Sean Newcomb's. It was like 1.6 or something if you average all those years together. His WHIP was like 1.6.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson is a big lefty that ended up with a career of 101 WAR. You know, like, I mean, Randy Johnson's a freak. That's why people keep giving Sean Newcomb a chance to make it as a starter, though, is because guys develop
– they see
those big lefties develop differently, and it's not every day you got a guy that throws easy gas the way Sean Newcomb does. I mean, the dude can throw 97 and it looks
he's
playing soft toss, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, I don't know how many more tries he gets in Atlanta, sadly. I really don't know. I still think he may end up a really good pitcher before it's all said and done.
Well, and this year, not only is it a shortened season, we also have a bullpen that's loaded with lefties. So there's not really a bullpen role where you can go, you moved back to the bullpen. He was good in the bullpen last year. But that's true. But where's the spot for him in the bullpen this year? The bullpen's been outstanding. And it's not like we have one lefty specialist or maybe two. We've got several. So...
Yeah, good point.
So it's not really a spot for him down there right now either. So I think he's just got to find it. I think he's a guy that has all the stuff, but I think gets in his own head a lot of, I can't suck today. I just cannot suck.
Yeah,
when you press and you press and you press,
Don't think of a purple crocodile. Yeah. Don't think of a purple crocodile. Right. Don't think of a purple crocodile. What are you thinking of? You're thinking of a purple crocodile. You know what I mean?
And that's what, a lot of his trouble comes when he gets behind in the count. And now you've got to throw a strike. And a guy like Bryce Harper knows you got to throw a strike. And that's not a good situation to be in. You know, that's a simple... I mean, if you want to boil it down to that, I mean, throw first pitch strikes. Get ahead in the count. And percentage-wise... you are looking at a much more advantageous situation as a pitcher. The difference between 1-2 and 2-1 is astronomical. So I hate to be like the non-rocket scientist guy, but throw more strikes.
This is what's really weird. This is what's really weird. Josh, in the minor leagues, if I remember right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in the minor leagues, Sean Newcomb almost never gave up home runs. If I remember right, he was like a no home run guy. Like he'd given up one in his entire minor league career, maybe.
I think you're correct, but I think his Achilles heel in the minors was letting guys on base. Wow. He always had a high whip.
Too soon to talk about Achilles, Josh. Still too soon.
Oh yeah, damn it. Sorry. Hey, another guy. Another. I think you might be stretching it maybe a little bit, Ken. When you say like big lefties take time to develop. Because I mean, Randy Johnson's a good example, but I don't know if that's a thing or not. I don't know. I do know that like Sandy Koufax, like first 5 years in the big league, Sandy Koufax sucked. He had a 4.16 ERA. Johnson had a 4.40 ERA first 5 years. And it's not just pitchers too. It's like a lot of the greats of all time. First 5 years, you know what I mean? Brooks Robinson was a 249 hitter first 5 years with a 296 on base. Are you kidding me? Roberto Clemente was kind of average his first 5 years, but you know, those are obviously comparing apples to oranges, I guess. But I don't know if Sean's gonna get it. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's the guy.
So in the minors, over 369 innings pitched in the minor leagues, he gave up 15 home runs.
Wow.
In four seasons of Major League Baseball, he's pitched 344 innings, and he's given up 38 home runs.
Here's a
hot take question. Could be the hitters are better in the major leagues.
Sure. I mean, that's 100%.
And the baseball might be a little bit different in the bigs.
But play this out, Josh. In 369 innings in the minors, right, he walked 191 people. In 344 innings in the major, he walked 171 people. So, I mean, that's not a good pace. That's his biggest weakness is just not putting the ball over the strike zone. I mean, and what's crazy about that is his stuff is good enough, but I think he's given up the home runs, and it scares him to let people put the ball in play.
Well, you know, Snit said something to that effect where he said, I don't think he realizes how good his stuff is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to nibble. Tom Glavine was a great pitcher. Tom Glavine won 300 games. But Tom Glavine also had to nibble and pitch a certain way because he didn't have the velocity. You know, people argue, would a Tom Glavine even make it
That's
today's
a great point, man.
Major League Baseball? Nuke doesn't have to do that. Nuke's got the stuff. He doesn't have to pitch like Tom Glavine. Tom Glavine didn't. It's not like he wanted to pitch the way he is. That's just, if he was going to be successful, he had one way he was going to do it, and he had to be really, really good at it. Because, I mean, he would tell you that he was limited in what he could do. But he was smart enough
to
know that.
John Smoltz was very much what Sean Newcomb is. He was a head case. He couldn't throw strikes. He figured out how to throw strikes. His stuff was good enough to throw it right down the middle of the plate, and they couldn't hit it. Because not just was it fast, but it moved. And that's what Sean's got. Like,
I don't know anything about, like, pitching mechanics or, you know, coaching or anything. But I almost wonder if, like, if you get him with the right trainer, and, I don't know if it's that –
go to Driveline.
Or just the right pitching coach. Like, I just think he, you know, I am hopeful, I guess, now that I think about it. I think he could be really good, but you got to learn how to pitch.
And sometimes it's just a change in philosophy from the pitching coach. I heard an interview with Smoltz one time when he got traded. He came from Detroit for Doyle Alexander. And he was doing Camp Leo, where they would come in, you know, in spring training, and the pitchers would report, and they'd do their pitching stuff, and Leo was like, what are you doing? He's like, well, Detroit, they wanted me to do this. He's like, dude, just pitch. Just pitch.
Throw
like,
the ball.
Do what's natural to
you. Yeah, do what you want to do.
And he was like, oh. He's like a young guy. He's like, I never thought of it that way. He's still trying to do all the little things that the last coach wanted him to do because they had a certain philosophy. Well, this is the way our pitchers pitch. Leo was like, no, make it keep it simple, stupid. Like, just go out there and pitch. Do what you do. And with time and repetition, you're going to get better at it. And it was a light bulb went over his head. Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah,
if more of us could realize that.
Like,
you know,
obviously, you're good enough to make it to the major leagues. You're good enough to be successful here. Just keep working.
Simple, stupid. That's a great acronym for all you youngsters listening. KISS, keep it simple, stupid. So whether you're in sales or whatever, you know, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. It's like you see it all the time. You see it in golf. You see guys trying to every other year they got a new swing coach and they're trying to tinker with this and tinker with that. Sometimes you just got to play through it. Your swing got you this far, you know, you just trust your stuff. And I think that it's true in pitching. Pitching in the golf swing is very similar. It's got to be a repeatable motion. It's got to be something that you're comfortable with. There's no two that look absolutely the same. And you just got to trust what you've got. And if you can do that, that's going to get you a long way, just believing in what you have and just doing you and not trying to be something that you're not. Not trying to be perfect.
Speaking of that, I think we saw exactly that from two other starts from the Braves this week. I think we saw Touki Toussaint come out and be himself. He messed with timing. He kind of looked a little Johnny Cueto-ish out there a little bit. Every pitch was working for him. He knew what he was doing. He didn't walk anybody hardly. He was very consistent. And I think he did exactly what you're talking about, JT. He just came out, and he was very confident, and he did what he does. And I think with Kyle Wright, we saw the same thing. Kyle Wright did get in that trouble in the fourth inning, but where he gave up, I think it was like four runs or something. But came back out in the fifth and the sixth and pitched great ball. You know, and I think you saw Kyle Wright kind of figuring it out that, hey, at the major league level, sometimes guys are going to hit you.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Even when you throw the best stuff, somebody's going to hit the ball sometimes. You can't strike everybody out. You can't have every game be scoreless. It just doesn't work that way. But you can be you consistently and not let that shake your confidence because somebody's good at what they do.
Yeah, I'd rather a guy get rocked once in a while just pitching the way he pitches than trying to figure it out each and every time he goes to the mound and say, okay, how am I going to get guys out today? You know,
young kids don't remember what it was like to watch Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz. Like, they know the stories of how good they were in the playoffs and all this kind of thing. But if you grew up watching Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz, especially Glavin and Smoltz, you knew that we're praying we get through the first and second inning because Tom Glavin might give up six in the
especially
first.
Especially Glavin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he seriously might. And Smoltz was kind of the same way. Like there were days that, and I think sometimes this was them out thinking themselves, but still, there were days they might give up five or six in the first, and you're like, oh, shoot, we're behind. But if you left them in the game, the third inning, it all clicked, and then they would pitch like nearly a complete game and like be a shutout strong the rest of the way, and you just hoped your offense caught up, you know? But there was more than one game Glavin got knocked out in the first because he could not get through it, you know, and could not get and I think a lot of young people that watch the games now, they're like, oh, how do these guys, they can't go through a lineup more than one time? And I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. Those guys over there are pros, and they're good at what they do. And even if you're really good at what you do, sometimes they're still good at what they do, and sometimes they still score runs because we're all trying to win the game, you know?
One thing I've noticed, have y'all noticed this? This is weird. Okay. It seems like the same people who get really mad or defensive about Johan Camargo.
Mm-hmm.
Johan Camargo, disclaimer, hugest fan. We love Johan Camargo. We've seen him in the face of the Braves.
Panamanian Prince. Yes.
Right. We love him, but he's hitting like a .173. The same people who get really, really mad if you say that he's hitting .173 are the exact same people who are currently tweeting just how trash Sean Newcomb is.
Yeah.
Am I crazy? Or does it seem like if Sean Newcomb wasn't a white male, these same people would be saying different things? Is that weird? It's like Snitker, Markakis, like Newcomb, like they suck when they have bad numbers. It's like they're the worst. But like a person that's not a white person, it just seems like it's just weird. It's just something I've noticed. I don't know.
It is kind of weird. You see, you know, no, except for the weirdos on Twitter, nobody was worried about Ronald Acuna getting his junk together when he was batting 140.
Terrible for a little bit there. I mean, you know, or when Acuna,
but we weren't worried about it. Like, he's Ronald Acuna, you know.
No, or he was hitting like $150 in the playoffs and stuff like that. It's just something I've noticed.
Well, if you want to talk about a guy who just goes out there and is himself and just plays the game naturally, like there's no better picture of that than Ronald Acuna. Like, he's just a guy that goes out. He understands sometimes you're gonna go 0-4. Sometimes you're gonna go 4-4. But he comes out there with the same mentality, the same, and he goes out and plays a game. Like, that's it. And I honestly think Acuna is one of those guys where whatever happened the day before, it doesn't bother him. Like, he's playing a game. Like, and he's just having a lot of fun doing it, and he lets his natural athleticism shine. And I think pitchers are weird people. Pitchers let other things get in the way, overthinking, and sometimes guys don't let their natural ability just come through. And we talk about Randy Johnson, how Randy Johnson sucked for a while. But there was no pitcher that said, you know what? I am just going to get you out with my stuff. I am just going to overpower the ever-loving crap out of you. And I'm that good, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. He believed in his stuff. And it took him a while to get that kind of confidence. I don't know, like, his early years with the Expos and stuff. I really don't know much about those. But I know when Randy Johnson was good, it was because he walked down the mound and he was like, dude, I'm the big unit and I'm about to just demolish you guys. Like, he had that, that he, you know, he carried himself in that way where he was intimidating. Ask John Kruk in the All-Star game. He was the most intimidating pitcher. Like, yeah, some people could say Roger Clemens, but in my lifetime, man, Randy Johnson was the most intimidating guy on the mound. And he knew that. And he just let his talent shine. He just showed up and played.
It's what do you call it, JT? It's that sauce.
Right. And Nuke, I don't think Nuke believes that he's got the stuff that he does. He really does have the stuff, but don't pitch like Tom Glavine if you're Randy Johnson. You know what I mean?
And
like,
I think I think these young kids grow up thinking that they're supposed to start their careers as Greg Maddux. You know, Greg Maddux didn't start his career as Greg Maddux. You know, like, I mean, in 1987, Greg Maddux pitched, he went 6-14 for the Cubs with a 5.61 ERA, right? Like, he walked 74 batters. Here's his walks for his first complete seasons. 87, 88, 89. He went 74, 81, 82, 71, and then check this, it starts dropping, 66, 70, and then he comes to Atlanta, and it goes 52, 31, 23. In 1995, he walked 23 people. 96, he walked 28, In 1997, he walked 20. With 232 innings pitched, he walked 20 people.
Goodness gracious.
But recognize, that's insane. He did not start there. And I think sometimes these young guys are coming in, they're trying to be so perfect, and they're trying to get everything, and they don't want to walk anybody, and they don't want to give up any home runs, and they don't want their ERA to be high because they know there's people coming behind them, and they feel all this pressure, and that actually makes them break down rather than just saying, you know, I just got to pitch.
I wonder, too, coming into a season, if you had to pick out the two guys at the starting rotation that were the most – I hate using the word head case, but we'll use this in the term of a pitcher, not of their overall mental stability, you'd say Folty and Newcomb. And I wonder how much, knowing that each game is valued, you know, a little over three times what the a typical game is, how much that has to do with their inability to keep it together. out there.
And Sean Newcomb, knowing he's on a short leash, he could end up back in the bullpen. Yeah. He knows he's got to make changes. He's failed before. I mean, those are all the things floating around in his head.
And this isn't May. This is every game is three times more important than it was last year. So I wonder how much that plays into it, because that's got to be tough.
I think COVID hurt him too. And what I mean by that was, like, he looked really good at spring training. Sean Newcomb looked like a different pitcher in spring training. Then they got, like, the big layoff. And when he came back, he's never looked the way he looked in spring training. Yeah. Now, would he have kept that the regular season? I don't know. I'm not saying he would have. But he worked really hard this offseason to make some significant changes, and I haven't seen those in the game, at least not making any results, you know. So that's rough. Let's move it on a little bit. What did you guys think of Oscar Yanoa getting the start? I thought
Oscar Yanoa looked good, you know, in the minimal time he was out there.
He did look good. More handsome than I thought he was, because I don't know why. I hadn't seen a picture of him, actually, or video of him yet. I just heard his name, and I couldn't tell if it was Oscar or Huskar, but I had this JoJo Reyes kind of like...
Yeah, that's not kind to him. Yeah.
Doughy looking kind of guy. In my head, because of his name, I guess. But then when I saw him, like, that's a handsome man.
Who was the guy? Handsome man. You made me think Doughy. Who was the guy that pitched a couple years ago and then, like, he's disappeared and, like...
Luis Guajara.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking with Andy Harris this week, and Andy Harris had a great point. And what Andy was saying was this. He said, look, it's easy to blame the Braves' development. Like, you could say, why aren't these guys turning into frontline starters? He said, well, first of all, they have got Soroka and they have got Freed that they've developed. But he said, rightfully, there's a lot of questions. You got Guajara, you got Newcomb, you got Lucas Sims, you've got Matt Whistler, you've got Aaron Blair, you got all these guys that were supposed to be pretty good pitchers that were even good in the minors and then got to the pro level and haven't been able to perform.
Sure.
And he said that, though, is not a fault of the development system, because the development system got him there.
Right.
But there comes a point where a guy has to perform at the major league level, and not everybody can do that.
Sure.
And that's not on development as much as it is just on some guys wash out.
And you got to remember that when the draft comes around and people say, well, we need hitters. Why do you keep drafting all these pitchers? We don't need more pitchers. But you do. You got to keep drafting them, because, yes, there was Tom Glavine and John Smoltz, but Pete Smith didn't make it. He was supposed to be just as good as them. And
Steve Avery got
hurt. Avery was the best of the bunch. At 21 years old, holy cow, in the playoffs he absolutely won us the series against Pittsburgh both years. Steve Avery was a stone cold killer in the playoffs and was the best of the bunch at 21 years old, younger than Mike Soroka is now, and could have been if he had stayed healthy.
By the way,
yeah,
still
he looks good. Still
looks
really good.
29 year old. Yeah.
And if his body had held up, Steve Avery, you said this is a future Hall of Famer.
I mean,
his body just couldn't handle it, and he got injured and was hurt and, you know, never was the same after a couple of years. But, I mean, in order to get your Glavine and your Smoltz, there's a whole bunch of other guys that, you know, were also very good but just didn't have the extra. Not going to be Hall of Fame pitchers.
I mean, Luis Guajara had everything. He even pitched at the major league level and had everything. Like, he looked like a stud at the major league level and then couldn't keep it together off the field for good reasons. Some of it's like if my dad died and I'm familiar with how the pain that is, and the dude drank himself basically out of baseball, if you get right down to it, you know, and couldn't keep weight off and couldn't stay healthy because he couldn't keep the weight off, you know. But that's not a lack of talent, and it's not a lack of development. That's just a lack of a guy not having the character, fortitude, whatever word. Maybe that's even harsh. Maybe the situational, you know, to make it to be a success, you know. And so, anyway, interesting, fellas. What do we think of 7-inning doubleheaders? Did you guys enjoy that on Sunday?
I liked it a lot better. It's fine.
I did not. Did the Braves have a 7-inning doubleheader?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, they won both of them.
On Sunday?
Yep, against the Phillies.
I'm embarrassed. I did not know that.
You watched the games and didn't even realize there were 7 innings.
I watched part of a game because I was live tweeting from the Nakoma account or something, but I didn't watch the second game, I guess.
Yeah, Oscar Yadoa started the first one, and then Max Fried started the second one.
Which, by the way,
I had no idea.
Max Fried's throwing like a Cy Young this year. And I know the Cy Young this year is going to be a weird award because it's going to go to a guy with like 7 wins. But, yeah, holy cow, Max Fried is an absolute monster. And
he is.
For all the bad stuff we can say about Folty and Nuke, we need to be saying as much good stuff about Max Fried. He is taking it to the next level and looks amazing.
Yeah, both literally and baseball.
He looks amazing. Yeah. And he's also a great pitcher.
Great that too.
He is fantastic. And you know, I'm glad to see because
I'm not sure I'm on board with the facial hair.
No, it looks a little it reminds me of early Jeff Gordon when he showed up in NASCAR and had that little mustache. But
it looks like someone clipped pubic hair and like glued it on.
But if he's gonna pitch like this with the face. With the facial hair. Oh yeah, you did determine that is Max Fried on the thing. Good.
Yeah, some people were asking, 2016 Rome Braves front cover. Not a very handsome picture of Max Fried in that picture. He looks a little baby face.
I thought they were joking when they were tweeting these things. It's so obviously Max Fried, but I guess like I was there and stuff. I don't know. It looks like Max Fried to me. Definitely more baby face than he is now. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see some question about it because he's not as so pretty boy as
he looks like he's got about 10 pounds of fat on him. Like he's slimmed down a little.
Also, as good as Max Fried is, I think Clayton Kershaw is going to win another Cy Young Award, dude. Man, he looks so good. Anyway, yeah.
Wait, who?
Clayton Kershaw.
I thought he was out. I thought he had like back issues. Oh, he's
back. He came back with a vengeance. Yeah,
he came back with a vengeance and looking better than ever. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 7-inning doubleheaders, I kind of like it. It's also kind of weird. It felt like the game had a weird pace. I guess if you're used to watching minor league ball, you're like, this is kind of cool. If you're not used to it, it's a little weird. Also, the fact that you can bring in a reliever in the fifth and he only has to get like 2 innings. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. JT, Josh, I don't know how much of this you even care or watched, but the PGA Championship was on Sunday or this past week. And is it safe to say that's the best golf we've seen in a couple years probably?
Yeah, it was great having a tournament now finally that matters. And it's it's the fourth of the four majors, let's be honest. I mean, it's the PGA. It's not the Masters. It's not the Open Championship, as they call the British now. It's definitely not the U.S.
Open. It's not the U.S.
But it's a major, and so that added an extra element. So you got everybody playing in it. And then you had a stocked leaderboard on Sunday with a good mix of new names and household names. And so it was enough to keep the common guy interested because you recognize half the names. And that's a good way to build stars is that because you're watching because Dustin Johnson is up there, you end up seeing, oh my gosh, I like this Colin Morikawa guy. And maybe you're watching because of Bryson DeChambeau, but then you also see Cameron Champ Scott Scheffler, whatever his name is. That's the guy in the outfield. Scheffler, or whatever his name is.
Scheffler? What's his name?
Scotty Scheffler, I think his name. Jeff will tell us. But yeah, it was awesome. It was good to see because it gets a little boring watching the AT&T Open or whatever every week. It was cool to see something that they're playing for. It was cool to see major golf and hear Jim Nance's voice and it feel like a big deal, you know? Like, because we haven't had a big deal sports in a while. Like, we've been watching.
It is. It's Scotty Scheffler. I was
Scotty
not
Scheffler.
Wrong.
I thought you said Schebler, which is, I think, the guy we just traded for like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. That's a different dude. Yeah.
Well, because, we've had basketball back, but these games are, you know, unless your team's in it, and mine's not, it's not the playoffs just yet. You've had the qualifying round to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and so this is the first thing we've had that's been, like, a meaningful game. And yeah, baseball games are more meaningful because, you know, there's 60 and not 162, but it was cool to be like, okay, a major event. You know, that's fun. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. It was competitive. It came down to the wire. There wasn't just one guy five shots above everybody else, and it's anticlimactic. Right. It was, you know, you had a group of about 8 to 9 golfers all right in there, you know. With nine to go,
there were probably 10 guys that could have won it. You know? It was that close. And then at 15, it kind of started to sort out. But
that's the way that's the way you like your final round to play out, is as it narrows it down. Yeah. Okay, he's out. Okay. And, oh, double bogey. Okay, he's done. And then you start to see the guys fall off.
I was surprised. It was also a pretty golf course. They usually pick terrible golf courses for the PGA Championship.
It was nice. It was really nice. And I love West Coast golf. Man, because they had 8 hours of coverage. It was awesome.
That's true.
You know, your leaders are teeing off at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, so you had something to watch going on throughout the whole day. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm like sad I didn't watch this now.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, it was really good. And Morikawa is like your 100% Japanese. He's Japanese, right?
Yeah.
He's 100% like that Japanese personality golfer. If you watched any of it, he's like, as soon as it was over, he's like on the phone with his little cute Asian girlfriend, and they were like, it was kind of funny.
It was neat. Anyway. Golf is a cool sport because it allows personality.
You guys were texting about this too, and I was like ignoring all. I'm a terrible friend because you guys were texting about it. I was ignoring you. I was going through a lot though yesterday.
You were tweeting about earthquakes and about people no longer liking NASCAR because NASCAR's boring and it's not political anymore.
Well, I noticed all the new NASCAR fans haven't tweeted about NASCAR since June, and I had to tweet about that. But I was going through, I had the earthquake and Nikki made me get rid of my Lazy Boy recliner.
Oh my gosh. Wow. It's the end of the Josh as we know it.
I have Eric Church brand recliner you can come try out whenever you want. It's he's got a furniture line. I don't know if you knew that, but
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah. His dad made furniture back in like West Virginia or whatever. And so to honor his dad, he has his own line of furniture products. Sofas, love seats, recliners. It's nice kangaroo leather, built in Bluetooth speakers. I've got an Eric Church recliner.
Do they have a
couple years
you can buy? Maybe like an altar pulpit, you know.
I wish. It's pretty cool.
Being a church, I would think he could produce really good stuff. Fellas, we got to talk about this.
Speaking of church, I've been going, and y'all need the Lord. I can tell you that much after doing a podcast with both of y'all.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Anyway, fellas, the Cleveland Indians have a problem on their hands. They have two pitchers. Do you guys remember? Do you guys ever watch MLB Tonight and Network and all that
Sometimes.
Stuff? Do you remember?
I don't have it because they make you pay for it.
Do you know Dan Plesac? You remember Dan Plesac?
He's
always on there. His son, Zach Plesac, starting pitcher for the Indians. He went out on. They were in Chicago on Saturday night. He went out. He broke the rules and went out on the town in Chicago and got in trouble for it and had to apologize via Twitter and make a statement apologizing to his teammates and to the fans and how he should do better because, you know, he exposed himself possibly to COVID. And hilariously, on top of that, 3 days later, they find out Mike Clevinger, their other starting pitcher, was with Plesac the whole time. But while Plesac is getting thrown under the bus, Clevinger kept his mouth shut, didn't say anything, and flew with the team, hung out with the team, did workouts with the team, while he too had been possibly exposed to COVID while going out on the town in Chicago with Zach Plesac. Fellas, how do we feel about these guys endangering the lives of so many MLB players by breaking the rules?
I mean,
you don't want to know my thoughts.
You know, I do think it's kind of the season is kind of on life support. There's always like I get the feeling like we're one more outbreak away from this being big time trouble. And
by outbreak, he means a bunch of asymptomatic
27-year-old. Yes, of course. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. I'm thinking
Thank
from
God
a
for
logistical
the test.
Standpoint.
Thank God for the test, because without the test, JT, they wouldn't know they had this deadly disease.
I agree. I'm just saying, hey, don't screw this up for the Atlanta Braves. Like don't like make them cancel the season.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. The amount of shame this young man has received for going to a bar. We are living in, shall I say, the end times or something. Like, people have lost their minds. They've lost their minds, dude. Stupid. Stupid people. Dumb. Dumb people, JT. Really dumb.
Josh, I have to disagree with you here, because, I mean, it's really terrible of Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac to go out in the city of Chicago and risk catching something like lead. I mean, it's
like
super dangerous
like
to go out in the city
like
of
a
Chicago.
Stray bullet.
Right.
Like, their life was much more, I mean, I'm like serious, like their life was super at risk going out in Chicago, but not from COVID, from actually getting shot or killed in the middle of a riot. Just saying.
You're right, man. You're right.
Hey,
it's very selfish of them.
Speaking of police,
look,
can I tell you my police story?
Oh, yes. Let's hear
your police story.
I've got to tell you guys. Okay, so, all right. So, Friday night, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you've already heard about this. But Friday night, I went to the in-laws, and we had a great feast. We had ribeyes on the grill, and we had some bulldog sausage, some jalapeno cheese sausage, and baked potato casserole with squash and zucchini. Ooh. Great. Oh, yeah.
I have not had supper, dude. You're killing me here.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. And great meal. Ate a big meal. And then the ladies went out for an ice cream run. They have a little ice cream parlor down the way. And this is down in the booming metropolis of Bonaire, Georgia. And so it's me and my father-in-law sitting around watching the Braves game Friday night. And well, not Friday night, because it rained out. I can't remember what we're watching. And we're having a drink and sitting down, and all of a sudden I got, call it the bubble guts, I guess you can call it. And I was like, I gotta go. So I got into the bathroom. And so I was in the bathroom, and I left my phone in my pocket, because usually I'm reading my phone or reading an article or something. Uh-huh. But I was like, this is going to be I need to make this a quick trip. I'm going to leave the phone in the pocket. And so I'm sitting there in the toilet, and my in-laws are kind of fancy. They have like a bidet on their toilet. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
They have like a little electric bidet. I've never used it. I'm afraid to use it. I'm afraid I might love it. And so as I'm on the toilet, I'm sitting on the toilet. And keep in mind, this is a loud poo. This is a force of nature. Okay. There's a lot of sound. There's a lot of sound effects.
This is like Dumb and Dumber level.
Yes,
in the bathroom.
On the par with that. Yeah. There was a lot of vibrance to it. And I hear this like chirping, like it's vit vit vit. I'm like, this is a bidet thing. Like, what is this thing? And like 15 seconds later, I hear it again. It's like beep beep beep, and I'm like, hell is that? So I finish my business and I pull my pants up and I'm walking back into the living room and I hear it again. And I'm like, what in the world? So I pull out my phone and I look at my phone and my phone was on lock, but it did an emergency call. And I'm currently a minute and a half into a conversation with 911.
Oh, God.
And I undo it, and they hear me just go, oh, shit, and I, like, end the call, because I don't know what to do. I'm like, And then my phone immediately rings back. And my father-in-law was looking at me like, what in the world? I was like, it was 911. I don't know. And they call back, and I'm like, hello? And they're like, yes, it's 911. Are you okay?
It sounded like I was dying.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's okay. Yeah, I'm all right. And they're like, we just wanted to
clarify.
Someone
was shooting me.
And so I had to give them my
name. They heard gunshots in the background.
I had to confirm my address and tell them where I was and everything. I was like, oh, everything's fine. I didn't mean to call you. I'm sorry. It was in my pocket. I didn't know. I'm so sorry. And so I hang up with them and I told my father-in-law what happened. And he said, oh, they're coming. And I was like, oh, really? You think so? And he's like, oh, yeah, they'll come. Sure enough, like 5 minutes later, knock on the door, welfare check. Like, they just want to make sure no one was holding a gun to my head. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, man. I was pooping and I dialed you guys. And the poor girl listened to the whole thing. Like, she had to hear the entire poo. Because it was,
by
the time I got to the phone and looked, it was a minute and 35 seconds or something. So she definitely heard pretty much the entirety of the poo. And so this poor guy, we actually have a lot of friends in common, nice guy. And I was like, hey, man, can I take a selfie with you? Because I had texted you guys as soon as it happened. I was like, hey, man, I just want to let you guys know I just called 911 while I was pooping. And they were like, what? And then 5 minutes later, I sent a picture, a selfie of me and the cop that showed up. And he thought it was funny. You know, he laughed. He had took my name down.
JT, and yeah, JT was took great. A selfie with a poopo.
Yeah, yeah. Back the poo. And yeah, so the cops came out because of my poop.
It's the police.
Yeah, I wonder if she was like, I don't know, it sounded like there was a struggle. Go check it out. Yeah, so.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Oh, man, it sounded violent. There was violence occurring in the background.
I'll tell you this. So, single ladies out there, if you like to meet a man in uniform, if you just accidentally call 911, they will send a cop to your house. So, if there's any ladies listening that might want to meet a cop, it's a great way to do it.
Especially if you have the bubble guts.
Oh, yeah. Especially yeah. If you have it couldn't have happened when just, you know, it had to happen then, right? Like, and I just felt so bad because this poor girl is sitting there at her desk at the command center listening to this entire.
Cracking up. You know, this made her night.
Oh,
like,
God.
She was cracking up.
And, yeah. And I mean, there's no disguising what it was. I mean, it was. Yeah. So I felt so bad. And then I had to have a conversation with her afterwards. Like, you know.
it's like worse just heard than a one night stand. It's like worse than a one night stand.
Oh yeah,
you gotta have a conversation afterwards.
She definitely just listened to me poop on the phone, and now I had to talk to her, tell her I'm okay. Oh man!
And on that note,
and now it's time for Around the Majors with Josh and JT, where Josh and JT keep you abreast of all the latest happenings from around Major League Baseball. Don't have an ESPN Insider subscription? Will no one share their athletic subscription with you? No problem. This shit's free. Now, here's Josh and JT.
Okay, JT, are you ready?
Sure, I haven't even seen the rundown, you? So whatever.
Yeah, let me get the stuff off the printer here.
Oh, hot off the presses.
All right, so Giancarlo Stanton can't stay healthy. He's back on the, I'm not going to say IL, because I'm an American. He's back on the DL. I didn't know that. So
what happens
Stanton's
this time?
Back on the. I don't know. Alex Rodriguez was whacking off about him and like, and he got hurt or something. So
is he a guy that has just too many muscles? Like sometimes baseball players can be too muscular, and the more muscles you have, the more you can pull something. Like baseball players didn't lift weights until like 1991. Like you know,
Tom Glavine said that on a broadcast once, and I've mentioned it on the podcast before. This was 2 or 3 years ago. I think the Braves were playing the Mets. Syndergaard was hurt, and Tom Glavine brought that up. He's like, a guy like Syndergaard has so many muscles, and there's just more to go wrong. It's like having a truck with all these bells and whistles. Some stuff's going to go wrong here and there. And he said just that. He's like, back in my day, and he sounded, you know, a little like I guess the kids say a boomer. But he's like, you know, back in my day, we didn't really work out. We worked out. Like before the game a little bit, but the wintertime we're playing golf, we're fishing, you know. Now they are working out all the time. They have all these muscles, and yeah, they get hurt more.
Man, how can you throw 95 without having muscles though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know.
I mean, you have muscles and you're strong. Well, we were talking Matt Jones off the record the other night, and he was talking about his dad. Yep. A lot of guys are just like country strong, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like Glavine was like that. Glavine on TV looked like a smallish guy, but like if he was hanging out with us on Kenny's front porch, he'd be a big guy.
He's a big guy. He's like, a big guy.
Just
kind of
country
strong. I met him. He's a big dude. He's tall.
I remember seeing Martin Prado up close for the first time, and I was like, oh my God, baseball players are huge. Like Martin Prado on TV, you're like, oh, little second baseman guy. In person, he'd be the biggest of all of us. He would just tower over us.
Yeah.
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 So, fellas, on that note, while you're talking about Giancarlo Stanton, he's played 3 years for New York. He's hit a total of 44 home runs in 3 years, and last year he only played 18 baseball games for them.
This I think year, there's a word for this. I think it's called loser.
This year he also has worked during the off season. He shed almost 20 pounds and arrived at camp at a lower weight range, and he did tried to lessen his physique during the off season so that he was not so bulked up to try to improve his health, which lasted all of about 2 weeks because he got hurt in spring training as well.
It's hard to be better than Nick Markakis when you're not playing. That's all I got to say about that. Moving on. Let's see here. JT, there was a brawl between the Astros and the A's. Did you see it?
Yeah, no, I did. I saw that. That was good. Laureano?
Yeah, that right. He like there was some beef before the altercation. There was some I think he was hit twice.
He was hit in the game a couple days ago, and then he got hit twice in this game.
Yeah.
And then like the hitting coach or somebody for the Astros like was like talking smack to him from the dugout, like, you know, he's on first.
Yeah.
And he turns like
John Boy
coach
did a really
like,
good breakdown.
Yeah, I saw the John Boy breakdown. I don't usually support John Boy media, but you know, he comes out, he's like, "Hey man, you know, bring it. What you got?" And I'm like, "Dude, you're a coach. What are you doing? Like, can you imagine?"
Yeah.
Like,
and then he
Kevin Seitzer being like, you know.
And then he didn't even like join the fight. Like the
he totally like
and he was like, "Hey man, come on." And then he's like in the very back behind everybody else fighting. What a loser.
Like you hit him. Like what your guys kept hitting him, and then you're gonna tell him like what do you know, come fight me. What's wrong with the Astros? Like from top to bottom, what is wrong with them?
Also, I think a lot. I think Trevor Bauer was talking about it on he had a show or an episode last week. By the way, side note, Trevor Bauer's YouTube, y'all, better than any baseball game I've seen this year. Seriously. Check out his YouTube channel. It's honestly solid content. But he was talking to some players about this very thing, and he was like, if they just came out and basically owned it, said we were wrong, we cheated, and we were assholes. Like, what else can you say to that? Like, what else?
Right.
What else? You know what I mean?
Kind of like, takes the air out of the balloon. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I think it'd be a little bit different. I think maybe there would still be some beef and some, you know, Joe Kelly's would be a little salty, but I think it'd be a little bit different for sure if they just kind of owned it.
Yeah, man, we got kind of carried away with it. Sorry, we're the first baseball team ever to cheat. like this hasn't been going on for
just be
years
assholes about
sport.
It.
Yeah.
Latest reports state that Cintron, who is the hitting coach, apparently made a slur about Laureano's mother. And Laureano was quoted as saying, "I regret charging him because he's a loser."
He called her a whore. What do you say? Your mom's a whore.
Wow.
Your mom's a hooker.
Your that'll mom's a hoe.
Moving on.
Your mom. Your mom got hit. Your mom got drilled twice last night.
moving on. Joe Adell or Adele? Adele or Adele?
Adele.
Know.
He's rolling
Joe
in the deep.
Joe Adell. Four base error. He had a four base error. The Angels right fielder Joe Adell was charged with a rare four base error when a fly ball from Texas's Nick Solak popped out of the rookie's glove and flew the few remaining feet over the fence in the Rangers 7-3 win Sunday.
Oh, so this is like he went Jose Canseco instead of going off of his head.
A four base error.
They rule that an error because it just goes off his glove and went over the fence.
Yeah, I guess so. Hmm. Joe Adell or Adell. You ever been to Adell, Georgia?
I have been to Adell. Brims and Boots, King Frog Outlet. Hey, Joe spells his
exactly.
name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
King Frog Outlet. Hey, 80 grade croc. Place there, man.
Joe
they
spells his name
sale.
Just J-O, right?
I guess
I guess they can finally add that E to his name now, right?
Wow. I thought only girls that were Joe had just J-O.
Well, look, you say that about Chris's, but Chris Medlin was a good, you know, pitcher.
What about JoJo Reyes?
What's JoJo?
JoJo's different. JoJo, you can get away with it. JO is for a girl. Like my sister-in-law's Jamie.
Like,
Jo.
Is it short for Joanna? Josephine?
You won't say that to Joe Adele's face. I can tell you that.
All right, moving
You're
on.
Right, because I'll probably never meet him.
Speaking of errors, Eloy Jimenez falling into the netting for no reason. Did you see that, JT?
No, I haven't. Is that what's in this thing here?
He caught a foul ball from Christian Yelich, who...
not been having a good year, Christian Yelich.
Christian Yelich, I think he's an outfielder for the Brewers.
I've heard of him.
He used to play for the...
I'm watching this now. You're getting my live reaction here. All right, Eloy, he's in my fantasy team, and he falls. Okay. Oh no! Oh God! No, he's caught. He can't get out.
He's
still running. He's
in the netting.
He was stuck. He's like a moth in a spider web.
Yeah, in the netting.
Good Lord, Christian Yelich, fast! Look at that.
And this is a contentious subject on Twitter, JT. But how do we feel now about like nettings going all the way down the line like that? It's a little bit. To me,
there he is again. Falls right in. Oh,
it seems
stuck.
Like Japanese or something. Not American.
I get it.
Weird.
I mean, you sound like Mike Bell, that idiot DJ in Atlanta that was like, idiots, quit looking at your phones and you won't die.
I know. That's why I don't say anything on Twitter, because he got destroyed for it. But
I mean, I get it.
The way he brought up was stupid. But actually,
it's weird past if you're much past third base.
I keep watching this, and it's like he falls into like a nest of spiders. Like he's just like he doesn't.
But it's all the way down the line. If you notice, JT, it's all the way down the home run corner.
Yeah. So it's running all the way down the foul line.
I don't like it.
What I couldn't decide is why did he fall? Like why didn't he just stop and turn around and pick up the ball? It looks like he literally just is like, oh, there's a net. I'm going to just bounce off the net. And Eloy, it didn't work.
More like Eloy Jimenez.
Wow.
Eloy in the net. Right?
Anyways. Okay. Right. Moving on here. Let's see here. The Cardinals may never play baseball again.
That's good news for everybody.
That's in my notes here.
They've missed 14 games now, and I think they're scheduled to miss another four. Because of COVID, at least, and maybe more.
I don't even want to talk about it because I'm just going to be a broken record. I'm so jaded and disgusted and I'm just going to be annoying. So here's my hot take. Thank God there's tests, because without them, they wouldn't know they had COVID.
Did you guys know that Stan Musial had the same amount of hits on the road as he had at home? He had 1,818 on the road and 1,018 hits, 818 hits at home.
You ever heard of the Gas House Gang?
Yeah. You know, Tony La Russa.
They were from Germany,
right? Joke.
They were from Germany, right?
You know, Bob, what's his name?
Bob Gibson.
Not Bob Feller. Bob Gibson. Yeah, he'll throw at your head. Do you know about that?
So yeah,
Ozzie Smith didn't really have a high batting average. Do you know that, JT?
Josh? The only thing I have a little bit of a problem with the COVID thing is because baseball does employ so many older people. I do find it a little distasteful that, like, I would have a problem if Brian Snicker got COVID because, some young guy didn't follow some of the basic rules.
Yeah, sure. If you get Coach Wash sick, I'm gonna be mad at you, man. The guy gave up Newports,
right? And I mean, it's pretty risky for people their age, and anyway,
I just hate the holes.
Eric Young, opted out and. Don't want the name fool you. He's actually kind of an old guy.
Who has the exact same voice as Kevin Hart. Eric Young Sr.
Really?
And Kevin Hart have the exact same. Dude, it's freaky, dude. They have the same voice. Moving on. Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. is a real phenom.
He is. Ken keeps dude trying to trade
special.
For him.
Dude is special. That's on my
JT
show notes
keeps
here.
Keeps telling me no.
I don't even really know who that guy is, but he's a shortstop for the Padres.
He's the son of Fernando Tatis Sr., who once hit two grand slams in the same inning.
Wow.
There's that.
I believe I read that Fernando Tatis Jr.'s week went something like home run, off day, double home run, off day, home run. I think that's
so
the way
just
it's
like
a
like,
something
like,
stupid like that.
Just like a normal Nick Markakis, just winter. Anyways, by the way, Padres and Brewers, JT, can you just say that they're doing a good job with their uniforms this year? I like them both. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I do. I like those both very much.
Yeah.
While you're on
especially
that note, how do you
Brewers.
Feel about the Philly Blue?
I was about to bring that up. This
absolutely
fantastic.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I love them. And I talked to my buddy Finn big Philly fan. I texted him, and he's like, I don't know why these are not our everyday uniforms. Like,
they're beautiful.
Why go with red when you can bring back the maroon? A lot of teams have red as a primary, like, basic color. But teams have, like, the burgundy, like, the maroon. Like, that separates that, you from other franchises.
That maroon and that baby blue.
Yeah.
Mwah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Also, the same era, like the 80s Cardinals uniforms.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Man, those are beautiful. So pretty.
Yeah. Mm.
Last but not least, JT, as we finish our trip around the majors this week, Madison Bumgarner on the struggle bus, man.
Not great, Bob.
Fastball sitting around 86, 88. Apparently, he has got some back problems. But he's in year one of his 5-year, $88 million deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I'm glad we didn't push for the Braves to sign him at all. I'm glad we were all against that.
None of us here were ever for that.
Yeah.
If you can remember. Yeah.
You know what? I don't know what it is. You know what I think it is? I don't think.
Especially me.
I think Garth Brooks had it best. I don't think it's his pitching problems. I don't think it's his fastball or his velocity. You know what it is? It's that damn old rodeo. It's bulls and blood. It's dust and mud. It's the roar of the Sunday crowd. It's the white in his knuckles, the gold in his buckles. He'll win the next go round. It's bulls and chaps and cowboy hats and spurs and latigo. It's the ropes and the reins, the joy and the pain. And they call the thing the rodeo.
The rodeo. Yeah, I think you're on.
Rodeo.
I think you're on to something.
Wow, wow.
It's the bulls in the blood, the steers in the mud, and they call the thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's going to do it for this week's Around the Majors.
That's it, yeah.
Fellas, it's been fun. Always enjoy talking with you guys.
She knows his love's in Tulsa. She knows he's going to go. That's what it is.
Hmm. This is for need for it controls him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, though, like, dude was literally taken down, like, doing some calf roping, like, some competitive calf roping during the wintertime.
What was his alias? Y'all remember what his alias was? It was like...
Yeah, some...
it was like his wife's maiden name, and then his name was like...
Yeah. Somebody made a Twitter about it. It's hilarious.
He should come back and pitch under his... I hope for the fan... I hope they have the fan day where you can put your whatever name on the back of your jersey. I hope he goes with it. Whatever his alias was.
Mason Saunders.
Mason Saunders.
That's it. Mason Saunders. Yeah.
Yeah, Mason Saunders.
For y'all that aren't aware, Madison Bumgarner got busted because he was actually competing in, like, actual rodeos this winter under the name Mason Saunders, which I think is the coolest shit ever. And I was like, bring him to Atlanta yesterday. But it turns out, you know, could hurt the back.
I mean, look, the ship's still out at sea. Maybe it is his back. Hopefully things work out. Hopefully he rights the ship. But we talked about this even when we were saying bring him to Atlanta, that he's not the Madison Bumgarner from 4 or 5 years ago.
No, it turns out he's the Sean Newcomb of 2020.
Ah, there you go. And on that note, that's going to do it.
Come back next week for more Around the Majors with Josh and JT. Where Josh and JT keep you abreast of all the latest happenings from around Major League Baseball.
If you would like to support Nakahoma Nation and, you know, support the show, make it so we can continue to do these crazy things, you can do so at NakahomaNation.com. There's links there. You can also visit Patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation, where you can become a patron subscriber. You'll get the podcast in your inbox, so you don't even have to look for it. You can get a sticker that describes your citizenship that you can stick on your car, your trash can, your wife's back. It says Nakahoma Nation. You can get a shout out on the show, and you, of course, can get your own Nakahoma Nation t-shirt depending on which level of subscription you want to go for. You can do all that at patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. Check it out. If you would like your own Nakahoma swag, we got all types of different awesome shirts, stuff with our names on it, stuff with your names on it, stuff with all types of diving and trolling and killing beef weird stuff. You can check that out at shop.spreadshirt.com/Nakahoma Nation. Get your own swag, your own gear. We got hats, cups, tumblers, shirts, all kinds of fun stuff. Check that out. Order yours today. Josh, JT, I love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's been fun.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.